You're good.
Okay. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I think it's time for the kids are all going to go upstairs and sing. All that energy, get a little bit of energy out. Maybe for mom and dad, huh? Do a little practicing. Huh? Praise the Lord. Huh? Boy, that's not much excitement. Wow. 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 Huh? Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
While they're going out here, everybody have a good Thanksgiving? It's good? Yeah, praise the Lord. Yeah, it's good, good, good. Yeah, praise the Lord for that. Yeah. We are blessed. We're definitely blessed. Got a lot to be thankful for. We're going to be, if you want to open your Bibles, we're going to be in Psalm 23. We're going to do a little, you ever do any Bible surfing? We're going to do a Bible surfing today, okay? And I purposely only give you Psalm 23. Most people have probably memorized that, Psalm 23. We're going to go there. Before we get started, let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning, guys. Precious Heavenly Father, we so humbly come before you this morning. Father, we're asking you to bless us with your presence. We're asking you to strengthen us with your Spirit. We are asking you to lead us by your word. And Father, I just want to be an open vessel that you can use, can bring this home, and we can apply this to our life. Father, in your precious name we pray. Amen. A couple disclaimers, I think. This is not a theatrical version. Les mentioned last week that some people preach theatrically. I'm not theatrical. This is not dramatized. This is not a dramatized version. This is a Holy Spirit-filled version. If I get a little excited, I am sorry beforehand, but I can't help it, okay? I can't help it. I praise the Lord. We're going to start out in Psalm 23. I got probably enough notes we could probably go on for a couple weeks, probably, and never leave. Probably everybody get hungry with them, right? Probably. Yeah, probably. Okay. So, we'll try to make it short and sweet. The 23rd Psalm is what? It's the Psalm of David. It's the Lord is my shepherd. Okay, y'all know that verse. Y'all know that? I don't know if they got it up on the computer. Maybe not. Doesn't matter. Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leads me. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. The rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. How do you teach 2 weeks on something that simple? Huh? We need to look at some stuff, guys. I got to change my glasses so I can read. Because I'm getting to that age where I have a little bit of an issue. You guys look real fuzzy now. But now I can read. I can see it. Huh? I can see it. We're going to get started. This is Psalm 23. This is going to be kind of heavy. But I want you to understand. This is something we need to know. So, if the Lord is your shepherd, what is a shepherd? I looked this up in the dictionary. Oh my gosh. It's someone who leads around stupid sheep. That was actually the word. Stupid. Ignorant. Dumb sheep. God calls us sheep. He calls me a sheep. And he's probably right. Ignorant. So, this shepherd. Who is the shepherd? It's God, right? Can we rely on our shepherd? Let's find out. Let's go all the way back to Genesis chapter 1. This is the first book in the Old Testament. It's all the way back. We put a name. I want you to understand. You put a name on something, this is a table. You can't sit on it. You probably could, but you'd fall over. It's a table, right? That's what it is. That's we put a name on. So when we call this a table, we limit it. It can't float. It can't fly. It can't eat. It's a table, okay? So when you put a name on something, you are limiting it, right? You're limiting it. Your car. You don't take your car and drive out in Knox Lake because what's going to happen? You're going to probably sink. It's not a boot. You limit it. So, if God, the Lord, is our shepherd, how limited is that? How limited are we? Let's go take a look. Genesis chapter 1. Everybody knows this verse. I mean, everybody knows, in the beginning God created heavens and earth. It's that simple. Okay? I want you to see something. In the beginning, God. The word for God here is Elohim. It's Elohim. Elohim is a Hebrew word. It's Elohim. It's the very first name of God in the whole book. It's Elohim. What's Elohim mean? Well, I'll tell you. Elohim means the strong creator God with power. Really? He created the heavens and the earth. And I love it. Verse 3, and God said, let there be light. Boom. You guys notice that big thing in the sky up there coming into church morning? That thing is huge. It's bright. It's really bright. When God said, let there be light, he created trillions of those. Trillions. They say right now, scientists say, and they ain't found the ends of our universe. They say there are like 2 trillion solar systems out there. Trillion with a T. With suns. You go outside last night, it was cold. It was just stars. It was like, dude, that's just, was that awesome? Yes. Go out this morning and praise the Lord. Look at that. Huh? God just said, let there be light. Whoa. Whoa. Did you get that? This is the creator God. He can say, hamburger, whoa, lettuce, pickles, tomatoes. Man, that's good. That looks good. It's there. Huh? Right? That's creating God. He just speaks it, and there it is. It's there. This is God. This is the very first name he ever gave himself. Elohim, all-powerful, creating God. Get that in your mind. All powerful. The next thing I want to look at, we're going to go to Exodus. Genesis, Exodus. It's real simple. We're surfing easy this morning, guys. Surfing real easy. Exodus chapter 3. Moses is talking to God. God's talking to Moses out of this burning bush. And Moses, in verse 13, Moses says to God, behold, when I come to Israel, Israelites, and say to them, the God of your father has sent me to you, and they say to me, what's his name? What am I going to tell him? What am I going to say to him? Moses is asking a very pertinent question. If I send you to go do something, you say, well, who sent you? Well, Matt sent you. Well, who's he? I don't know who he is. He's nobody. God says in verse 14, and God said to Moses, I am who I am. And the Amplified says, and what I am, and I will be what I will be. And he said, you shall say this to the Israelites, I am has sent you. This word in the Hebrew is Yahweh, Jehovah. Jehovah. Listen, verse 15. God said to Moses, God also said to Moses, this shall you say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob has sent you. This is my name forever. By this name I am to be remembered to all generations. Jehovah. What's Jehovah mean? God, right? God. The neat thing about the Hebrew text here, guys, this Elohim, this all-powerful creator God, Jehovah is a personal, self-existent, living, promise-fulfilling, faithful to his word, God. Huh? You mean we serve this same God who created the universe by hamburger? There it is. Yeah. Steak and potato? There it is. Yeah. Huh? He just says it. He's created it. This same God is the same God who is self-existent, promise-fulfilling, all-powerful, faithful to his word, God. Is that something? I thought that was something. I opened the door to my room and went, yes! Neighbors probably think I'm a total idiot. But I didn't care. Like, yes, it's God. So we're looking here. We've got an all-powerful, strong creator, without limits,
self-existent, living, promise-fulfilling, faith-keeping God? Yeah. Yeah.
Let's keep going. We ain't got a lot of time. Let's keep going. We're surfing. We're going to go to the book of Deuteronomy. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 10. I want you to see something here. God gives His name. He says, this is the name that I want to be known by. Jehovah, I am God. And Deuteronomy chapter 10. There's a verse here. Oh my. Moses is talking to the people of Israel. There's just a lot of cool stuff here, guys. You ought to read this whole chapter. But I want to focus on verse 17. Because I want you to see this. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 17 says, and I'll read it. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, the terrible God who is not partial and takes no bribes. You ever read that verse? Sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? Let me read it to you. For the Lord, Jehovah, your God, Elohim, is Elohim, God of gods. Elohim. He is Elohim of Elohim. He's the creator of all created, period, exclamation point. The Lord, Jehovah of lords, Jehovah. He is the Jehovah of Jehovahs. He is it. Beginning and end, He's it. The great, the mighty, the terrible God. There's only one problem with that. In verse 17, down here, this terrible God is El Elohim. Shouldn't make any difference. It's El Elohim, right? Sounds almost like Spanish. El Elohim. What's that mean? The Almighty. Without limit. God. He takes no bribes. He takes no bribes. He's not partial. He is God. He is Jehovah of Jehovahs. He is Elohim of Elohim. He is El Elohim. He is the powerful, almighty, non-restricted. His name is not restricting to Himself. He is all-powerful. You getting this? It's going to become a little bit clearer. Hopefully we get going here. I get a little bit excited. Can you get excited at a God of heaven? He's not even the God of heaven. He's the God of the universe. Can you get a little excited about the God of all creation that made you and me? Wants to have a personal relationship with me? Really? Do you guys know me? No. I'm not a nice guy. I'm not a nice person. I've done bad things in my life. I'm probably going to do more bad things the rest of my life. Whatever it is, it's less shortened, right? I'm probably going to. The same God who created the universe by just speaking into existence and left it be life. The same God who is Jehovah, who is self-existent, He's faithful, wants to have a relationship with me. You know? He wants to have a relationship with each and every one of you.
Amen.
Each and every one of you. That's something? Let's keep going. Surfboard's coming in. All right, here we go. We're going to jump past. I want to go to Isaiah chapter 40. And before we hit Isaiah chapter 40, I just wanted to understand something. We're talking about God. We're talking about Jehovah. We're talking about the all-powerful, all-creating, self-existent, faithful to His word, God. Do you understand that? In John chapter 10:10 says, the thief comes to kill and destroy, and what? But I come to give you life more abundantly. And what's verse 11 say? In John 10:11, what's it say? This is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is talking. What's it say? John 10:11. I'm reading it to you. I am the good shepherd. This is the Lord Jesus Christ, the very Son and power of God. He said, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd risks and lays down his life for his sheep. The Lord Jesus Christ said He is the good shepherd. I got an old antique back in the 1920s, dictionary, big volume set, two big, huge, century made a big volume. And when you look up shepherd in that dictionary, the reason I like that dictionary, it is biblical based, 100%. If you look up shepherd, you get on through shepherd, it tells you it's a guy that takes care of some dumb sheep, and that's what they are. But also, it says good shepherd. It says, see John 10, 11. Christ is the good shepherd. Okay, so we've got this God who can speak the world into existence, which is phenomenal. That's phenomenal. You ever speak anything into existence? No. I'd like to use a hammer right now. Nothing. If there were one appeared, I'd eat it in front of you. I would. I would eat it in front of you. I would. But I can't do that. This is God. He created everything. He's faithful to His Word. He's self-existent. He's God. And He's saying here, I'm the good shepherd. I hope this brings a little bit of light to the fact that when we look at Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. God is your shepherd. The self-existent, all-powerful, all-creating, limitless God. He's your shepherd. Let's look at Isaiah 40. I want you to see something here. Oh my. And I want to look at. Let's look. I want you to see something here. Let's start in verse 8. This is a little bit to read here, but I want you to see something. This is going to tie in. I hope you get this. Verse 8. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God will stand forever. It doesn't change. If God said, you know what, Noah? I'm never going to destroy the earth again with water. When I'm going to put a rainbow in the sky, when I see that rainbow, I'm going to remember the covenant I have with you that I'm never going to destroy the entire earth with water. Anybody ever see a rainbow? That's a covenant keeping God. Huh? That's a covenant keeping God. It says His word's going to last forever. Let's go on. Verse 9. Oh, you who bring good tidings to Zion, get up on the high mountain. Oh, you who bring good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with strength. Yeah! Lift it up. Be not afraid, says the cities of the, say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Huh? Can you go to a ball game and go, yes, kill the referee, yeah, yeah. Huh? You see people do that, right? Can you come to church and get a little excited about God? It says here, there's just shouted from the housetops. Let's go on. Verse 11, or verse 10. Behold, the Lord God will come with might, and His arm will rule for Him. Behold, His reward is with Him, and His recompense before Him. Verse 11. He will feed His flock like a shepherd. This huge God. God is good. God is great. Huh? He's great. He will gather the lambs in His arms. He will carry them in His bosom and will gently lead those who have their young. God says, I'm going to just pick you up, carry you. I'm going to put you in my arms, and you're going to feel my presence, and you're going to know that I'm God, and I'm your shepherd. Huh? Verse 12. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of His hand? This is God. You guys ever see a lot of water? A lot of water. There's a lot of water on the earth, isn't there? A lot of water. All these oceans and seas and rivers and streams and lakes and stuff. Lake Erie is ugly lake. It's rough. You get up there and you beat you to death. God says, I put all that water right there. Water right there. Really? Really? Yeah, really. What's He say? The waters in His hand, He's marked off the heavens with a span. You know what a span is? It's a 9-inch ruler. You mean to tell me, what is it, 180-some thousand miles from here to the moon? And it's, I heard something on the news, they said that some of these stars you see, you go out at night and see stars, that star has already burned out and the light is just getting there. What? Really? You just seen it? And it's burned out already? How big is this universe? It's huge! God, yeah, I marked it out with a 9-inch span. No big deal. Huh? Let's go on. He's enclosed the dust of the earth in a measure.
There's a lot of dust in the earth. There's a lot of dirt, a lot of dust. You guys go when you go to the deli. I always get my lunch stuff from the deli. I like to have the cheese fresh cut, the meat fresh cut. You know, it's just kind of funny that way. But anyway, you ever tell a lady, make sure you wipe all the dust off that scale because I don't want to pay for it. Yeah, you get a look. Stupid? You get a look, right? That's what he's saying here. The dust of the earth, to me, is like a weight on a scale. It's nothing. It don't even matter. It don't matter. What's it say now? And the weight of the mountains and the scales and the hills and the mountains. All the trillions of tons of rock. last week, talked about this big rock in the creek bed they'd like to move. It's big. It's hard to move. You can't move this thing. It's huge. Can you imagine mountains of rock? Mountains? Mountains! God says, I can put them on a scale and wham for you. Tell you what they weigh. That's God! Isn't that something? This same God who says, you know what? I'm going to be your shepherd. I'm going to take care of you. Can you trust me? Man, how can you not? He's God! Let's go on. Let's go on. Let's go to Psalm 23, where we originally started. Let's go to Psalm 23. Like I said, I got plenty of paperwork. We can keep going for a long time. Yeah. Psalm 23. Psalm 23 is a psalm written by David. David was a shepherd. We know that by history. We can look back. He protected sheep. That's what he did. He was a shepherd. Moses spent 40 years tending his father-in-law's sheep in the desert. 40 years. You think if you tended stupid sheep for 40 years, you'd get used to maybe dealing with people? Me, you used to deal with me. Because I'm a stupid people. Huh? I'm going to do things that I shouldn't. I may even say something I shouldn't. Yeah. Psalm 23 was written by David to the Lord. It's a very personal psalm. It's probably one of the most personal psalms there. It has, there's 17 times me and I is used in this psalm. It's a very short psalm. And 12 times is Lord, you, God, is used in this psalm. I want you to see something. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Or lack. A lot of translations say, the Lord is my shepherd to feed, guide, and shield me, and I shall not lack. There was a preacher once. He was trying to get people to memorize verses in the scripture of the Bible. And he was asking someone if they knew the 23rd Psalm. And there was a little girl down front, about 4 years old. She raised her hand. He's like, this is good. A four-year-old girl can memorize this. You know what I mean? This is great, great analogy. This is great for people to see this. Comes up and he says, you know, okay, 23rd Psalm. She said, the Lord is my shepherd and he's all that I want. And she went and sat down. What do you say to that? It's true. He's all that I want. I lack nothing. Jehovah Rohi. You ever hear that for a name of God? Jehovah Rohi. It's Jehovah, the self-existent, all-powerful. He's all-knowing, never fails, always comes through. Shepherd. Huh? I lack nothing. Huh? I lack nothing. I like this because sheep, I'm going to read this to you. Sheep are completely dependent on the shepherd for provision, guidance, and protection. As David had watched over his sheep, so he knew that the good shepherd, the Lord, was watching over him. Do you understand that sheep? Anybody had? I don't. Matt has sheep back there. trying to be nice to sheep. Trying to be nice, but they're just dumb. They're a dumb animal. It's interesting to me that a herd of sheep will feed and take care of a whole group of people. You get food, you get wool, you get milk. I mean, you got it all. But they're the dumbest animal that ever was. If something comes to attack them, they go, meh, and get eaten. That's what they do. They don't fight back. They're just dumb. They'll go lay down and get all wet and can't get up and just lay there and die. They're just not a smart animal. They're totally dependent on the shepherd to lead them, to guide them, to get them something to eat, to get them water. Totally. Are you totally dependent on the shepherd today? The Lord? Boy. Because I try to do it on my own. And I fail. And I try it again. And I fail again. Anything about God, He's always there. He's always there. Let's keep going. That's just my first verse. Okay. That's just the first verse. Okay. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. And I want to show you, I'm a word study guy. Some people don't like word studies, right, Becky? They don't like word studies because they take a long time. To me, it's exciting. It is. Because when I look at this, he said, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. This word for pastures is, it's extremely content. It's just content. God makes me to lay down in green pastures. He's very content. It's a calm place. And still waters means, oh boy. Still waters means peacefully, consolation, specifically in matrimony. What? Really? Happy wife, happy life? Huh? Happy dad makes everybody glad, right? Huh? Right? You never heard that one before, have you? I just made that one up. I'm just telling you. I did. I made it up. Huh? This still is matrimony. It's that calm. When you're married, there's times it's just, this is really nice. That's what he's talking about. It's still calm. Comfortable. Waters. And these waters are quiet waters. They're nice and calm, smooth. You can lay down in the grass, comfortable and still. Nice, calm water, quiet. Huh? That's what God says. He says, I'm going to lead you to it. And you know what? It doesn't say, I'm going to drag you kicking and screaming. I'm just going to lead you to it. If you'll follow me. Lead you to it. Well, keep going. Keep going. Verse 3. He refreshes and restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. This word for restore. I'll read this to you. It's related to a process called conversion. Or turning back to God is in reality rethinking or turning back again to Him on whom sin has separated us. He refreshes, restores my soul. You all have a soul, right? I want to read you this because I thought this was really cool. In the Hebrew, comparison or contrast, inner self and the outer appearance are viewed in a different context. What one is to oneself as opposed to what one appears to be to others. Get that? If I look in the mirror, I say, oh, you're an ugly dog. You ever say that to yourself? And then smile? You ever do? Okay. If you do that, you look in the mirror and say, well, I look pretty good. And somebody sees it, dude, why did you wear that plaid shirt? It doesn't go with nothing. That's just ugly. It don't match nothing. Huh? That's what it's talking about here. What I think, what's on the outside. This word restores. The goal of the scriptures is to make what's on the inside match the outside. That's what God wants. He wants your inside, your soul. He restores your soul. How does He restore your soul? Spending time with Him. It's the only way, guys. It's the only way to get your soul restored. It's the only way to get peace. Spending time with Him. And then the inside starts to match the outside. Huh? Isn't that cool? He leads me in paths of righteousness. What is righteousness? It's right standing with God. It says God says, I'm going to lead you in paths of righteousness. Now, do you have the choice to stray from the path? Yeah. Has anybody ever strayed from the path? No hands. Everybody's perfect. Good deal. Praise the Lord. That's what I was looking for. Huh? Huh? You know what I'm saying? We all make stupid mistakes. He says, I'm going to lead you in paths of righteousness. And what's the last part of that verse say? For His name's sake. God is not going to do anything, lead you, guide you, pull you. He's not going to take you to these paths of righteousness. He's not going to take you to this calm water for any other reason because of who He is. And He knows you're going to like it. You're going to enjoy it if you just listen. If you just let Him work on you. If you just let Him talk to your soul. If you just let Him lead you in these paths, you're going to have that calm, kick back, take it easy kind of day. Huh? Can anybody use one of them? Yeah. We're so busy we can't even tell what way's up. God says, I'm going to lead you in these paths of righteousness. And it's going to be for my name's sake. And let's go on. Verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Do you understand that this is not actual dying death? It's that shadow. If you look at this, it's incredible. In the Hebrew, this valley is the deep, waterless, gloomy, wild, beast-infected, rocky, dangerous, death-lurking ravine. Really? That's pretty bad. That's all bad. Do you ever feel like you're walking through that valley when everything is on top of you? It's just like, it's all bad. Nothing good's happening to me. It's all bad. Yes, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Can you rely on that God who spoke the worlds into existence? Who thousands of years ago made a covenant with a man he would never destroy the earth again with water, and he puts a rainbow in the sky. I have seen in the last several years more double rainbows than I ever have in my life. A rainbow, and there's another. It's like, it's almost like God saying, telling you twice. You get it yet? I'm telling you twice. Do you get it yet? Say, God, I want a three rainbow. I want a three rainbow. Huh? Maybe I'll believe you now. You know what I'm saying? Really? It's the same God. I'm not going to fear any evil, even though I walk through those times in my life when it just seemed like there is nothing good going on. I know God's with me. I know He's there. I know He's with me. And what's it say? For you are you with me, and your rod. I can't. God is with you, guys. No matter where you're at, He's with you. When you're driving downtown Cleveland, and it looks really bad neighborhood, He's with you. Huh? When you go outside and you see a skunk, they woohoo! He's still with you. You go your way, I go mine. You know what I mean? He's still with you. God is with you. That same God, really, that God that created the universe, spoke it into existence, He's self-existent, faithful to His word, covenant-keeping, all-powerful God? He's with me. He's with you. Your rod. This is interesting, this word for rod. It's to protect. It's a protection. The one that holds the rod, holds the scepter, is in power. This rod is for protection. The shepherd had two tools. He had a rod and had a sheep hook. Staff. The rod was for beating off enemies. For knocking things in the head that got too close to you. The staff. Your protection. He would use that. Anybody ever see that picture? I haven't seen that for 100 years. I'm not that old. That's good old. The guy with a staff, the shepherd reaching down and getting the sheep on the side of the mountain, picking that sheep up with a staff hook. That staff is for you and I. It's for your protection. God, you mean to tell me, God of the universe, all created, all powerful, almighty, self-existent, I'm going to keep saying this, you get it, self-existent, promise-keeping, faithful to His word, God has a rod and He has a scepter. He is protecting you at every turn. And He is using the scepter to guide and lead you at every turn. That God, individually, doing that for you and me. That's pretty impressive, isn't it? Are you getting this? You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I want you to see a word picture. The neat thing about Hebrew and Greek is word pictures. It's so cool. The shepherd, in his pouch, he would carry some hay, and he'd pick some really, really nice grass. And had a little ring in there, you know, to keep that. And if he had a sheep that got away, got astray, got out there, got sick, tired, whatever, he would go get that sheep. He had a little blanket bag, and he put this food on that little blanket. And that sheep would eat. And when all these animals come to eat it, he's like, you know, I got it. You go ahead and eat. I got this. He prepares a table before you in the presence of your enemy. That's the picture. You can just, you know what? We're going to have steak and hamburger for dinner. Yeah. I'm going to eat. Because you know what? God's watching over my enemy. Huh? God, Jehovah, is watching over my enemies. That's the word picture.
What else we got here? You anoint my head with oil. It's difficult to understand oil. In the Middle East, it's so hot. It's just really dry. It's heat, hot. What they would do, athletes even do this, they would cover themselves in oil. It helps keep the body cool, keeps you from sweating too much so you don't get dehydrated. It was anointing. It was like that's cooler. I like that. On a 100-degree day, you ever get a cold drink of something? I like water. Chocolate milk out of the cooler with ice. That's good on a hot day. Just, yeah. Ooh. You know what I mean? That's what he's saying here. I'm going to anoint you with oil. I'm going to give you peace. I'm going to give it to you. And what's it say after that? My cup runs over. He's going to fill your cup up so it's running over. Well, why does he do that? It's wasted, right? No. Your cup runs over so you can fill somebody else's cup. Maybe you can be that word. Maybe you can be that light. Maybe you can be that blessing on somebody else. When your cup's running over, and God says, you know what? I'm just blessing you and it's running over. Don't waste it. Give it to somebody. Share it. Pass it on. That's what I'm trying to do this morning, because I'm not a preacher. I'm just a man who loves the Lord. And I am so grateful and thankful that He died for me. I'm so grateful. We're not done yet. You getting this? God is just, it's all over us. Now what's He going to do? Verse 6. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Word picture. Goodness, mercy. You ever see sheepdogs? Work sheep. It's amazing. They just, the sheepdogs, it's just so cool to watch them do the thing. The sheepdog will stop. They're to move, they'll go. And it's like, you know what I mean? They're just constantly keeping sheep together. That's what they do. They're sheepdog.
God says, my goodness and my mercy is going to track you the rest of your life.
Really? You mean God's goodness is trying to keep me alive? Hey, mercy, goodness, mercy, you know what I mean?
What?
Yeah, He's trying to keep me alive. He's giving me that mercy. He's giving me that grace. He's spreading that love on me. Huh? That's them dogs or that sheep. That's you and God. Said, I got you. I want you over here. I got you over there. Don't fall. I got you. I got you. Huh? That's God.
And this here says, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Hebrew here is the idea of a dwelling presence. God says, you know what? I'm going to be with you. You mean when I come to the door of death, and that death door opens, and I step through, God's going to be there. You mean in this life when I'm working, and it just seems like it's just a bad day? It's not there. My goodness, my mercy is still there. I'm still trying to give you that peace. I'm still trying to give you that joy. I'm still trying to lead you by that water that's cool, calm.
Can you understand that when you read Psalms 23, it is a beautiful picture of the God of the universe, the all-creating, all-powerful, promise-keeping, self-existent, faithful to His word, covenant-keeping God loves you.
Because I don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. But that's God. That's what he does. That's who he is. I want to read you a verse. I hope you understand something. This, the Lord's is my shepherd, Jehovah Rohi. This 23rd Psalm it's probably one of the most memorized Bible verses in the Bible, other than John 3:16. The Lord is my shepherd. And it should be. Because if you know what it means, read it with a different light now. You know what it means. I want to read you a verse. I hope you like this. This is just going to end this up, and we're coming in. The train is coming in. The plane's coming down to land, okay? Surfing's coming to an end. It's going to be calm from now on, okay? Okay. I want to go to 1 Peter. I want to read you something here. And I just wanted to end on this because I think this kind of ties this together in a really very nice way. 1 Peter 5. And I don't want to read too much of it. It says, verse 6 says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that in due time he may exalt you. Casting the whole of your care, in the Amplified says, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on him. For he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. God keeps an eye on you. Be well balanced. Be vigilant and cautious at all times. For that enemy of yours, the devil, roams around like a roaring lion, seeking someone whom to seize upon and devour. You know, I've heard that verse a million times, but you know what always gets me? Every time I read that verse, that Satan walks around like a roaring lion. You know what? How lions hunt? They're quiet. You know the old lions that lose all their teeth? And they can't hunt well? You know what they do? They roar, scare their prey into maybe jumping and running and come to them. That word picture, you get that? Satan's teeth has been pulled by the creator of the universe, the Almighty. He paid the price for you and me on that cross. He paid the price. And all Satan can do is go, roar. Are you scared? Boo! No. Let's go on. It says verse 9, withstand him. Be firm in the faith. In the Amplified, against his onset, rooted, established, strong, immovable, and determined, knowing that the same sufferings are appointed to your brotherhood throughout the world. You mean there's somebody else in the world that has the same problems I got? Yeah. And after you have suffered a little while, after that day is done, after that bad day, after that time is done, just after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, will himself complete and make you what you ought to be, establish and ground you securely, and strengthen and settle you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Huh? God says, when it's done, when this trouble is done, I'm going to strengthen you. I'm going to empower you. I'm going to be there to lead you. And you know what? In the middle of the trouble, he's still there. Isn't that cool? I hope. No, I pray. I pray that the Lord this week will enlighten your minds to the power that he is, to the awesomeness that he is, to his awesomeness, his unlimited name. There's no limits on his name. There's no limits on what you can ask him for. There's no limits. It says, my Bible tells me he can do super abundantly. And that's a word that Paul phrases. It's super abundantly above all that you ask or think. Super duper, super duper duper, super duper duper. Yeah. That's your God. If he can speak the worlds into existence and just, whoop, they're there. Can he help you? You better believe it. Can you turn to him in time of crisis? You better believe it. Can you ask for wisdom and strength in time of crisis? You better believe it. He is God. The kids are ready to come in. I probably really will grant it. I just hope you get a hold of this, guys. I hope you can apply this to your life. I pray God will use it to give you some peace this week. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we so humbly come before you this morning. We just want to thank you for this time. Just that you can, your word can be spoken. Your word can be taught. Your word can be accepted, assimilated into our being, and applied to our life. You are God, Jehovah Elohim, God. Praise you, Father. Thank you. We thank you for this time. Father, I just praise you. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Praise team is going to come up. I'd like Les and Jesse and Matt to come up. I'm not an elder. I'm not a preacher. I'm nothing. I'm nothing. But I know somebody who is everything. He is everything. And because he is everything, I can be something. Praise the Lord. I just want to offer this time. If you have something you want to pray for, we're not any closer to God than you are. But my Bible tells me if two or three, he's in the midst. And these men will believe. I will believe with you. I will sing with you. Before the throne of God, asking for the answer that you want. And we know that God is all powerful. He's self-existent, all powerful. You want to sing a song? Praise the Lord. Thank you.
has come for you as we go out in the world, Father. I just ask a special blessing. Father, I ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the power of His blood, that each and every one here is covered. That, Father, Satan is bound in your life. He cannot move. He cannot wiggle. You've got a hold of it. Father, you in their life. And we just, Father, just pray that get a hold of you, knowing you're God. Your love and your joy, your peace be with them. I just pray that. I ask that. We need that, Father, as your people, as your sheep. Father, just bless us as we go this week. Father, we can come again in your presence. In the precious name of God. Amen.
Sorry.
Uh-oh. Okay. Quick praise team meeting before you guys get up.